This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I fully support Mason Rudolph. We as an organization fully support Mason Rudolph. And to be quite honest with you, we were hacked off with what we saw this weekend. Not specifically from Myles Garrett. He's been in the lane that he's in. But what was displayed by ESPN in that panel, the way that the situation was presented, I don't think was fair to Mason Rudolph.
Ah, yes. And let me be the first to say good morning to you from 93.7 The Fan. Live and local from our Green Tree Studios, this is the Early Morning Show. I'm Matt Cole, with you to about 5:40 before the Fan Morning Show pre-show. And it's the start of a new day, brought to you by Greenbrier Treatment Center, 5:04 on this Tuesday morning. And you hear there, of course, the undeniable voice of one Mike Tomlin going on ESPN yesterday. And I'm sure you've heard a lot of what he had to say on ESPN's First Take, giving them an exclusive interview and premium content that, let's be honest, they really didn't even deserve after how they've handled everything in light of Myles Garrett coming out once again and claiming that a racial slur was said to him by Mason Rudolph. Mike Tomlin giving ESPN the big old fat L yesterday and blasting them for their coverage. And this should honestly be the height of Mike Tomlin's popularity outside of course, winning a Super Bowl earlier in his career. And you can say what you want about his in-game play calling and his shortcomings in the playoffs of late, and that's all fair and true. And that's certainly something that you can bring up in a discussion when you're talking about Mike Tomlin being the head coach of the Pittsburgh Steelers and evaluating his job and what he's done in his now lengthy career. But this is what you have him in the lead for. This is what you have him as the face of your organization for moments like this. This is when he's at his best. We know that Tomlin is not a fan of inserting himself into the limelight or into the conversation with things in the offseason. You barely ever see him in the offseason. The most you ever see him really is if he's at a Penguin game or if he's behind the plate, front row at a Pirate game with his family. I mean, that's pretty much all you ever see him. And then maybe at the combine, draft, whatever. But those are kind of on-the-job things. Very rarely does he show up in the offseason like this. I don't really recall a time that he has shown up on a show like that, like First Take, on ESPN, on a major network, willingly coming on and doing that. But he's got the ability to recognize when a strong voice is needed. And that's what showed. He steps into that spot and he delivered in a big way yesterday. And you wonder why the Steelers kind of persevere through some of the tougher times with him on the field. Some of the losing to Jacksonville in the playoffs. Some of the things that he does as far as losing challenges and maybe making some questionable decision-making, opportunities throughout games. We've seen that throughout the years. You wonder why they kind of persevere through these things. You wonder why his job is seemingly never in question, and you wonder why so many players love playing for this guy. This has got to be a big reason why. I've got to believe that. That he is willing to come on to ESPN and to face the music, to put his name and his reputation, his own name and his own reputation out there for one of his players, for what he believes in. So what's next? What is next in this whole thing now that Mike Tomlin has made this declaration? Well, if it was up to him, he would say this.
I think it's probably best that we all shut up and move on. But I had that attitude months ago, and it hadn't transpired. So I would expect him to do what was appropriate in terms of protecting his name and reputation. And I would do so aggressively, and I don't blame him.
If I'm Mason Rudolph, I let the actions and the words of those around me speak for themselves. I let all the people that have come to my defense since this whole thing has happened, and especially since Myles Garrett made this claim against Mason Rudolph, the David DeCastros, the Marquise Pouncies, the Ramon Fosters, all players that were there on the field, that were right near the situation, that were in it, that talked to guys that were there as well, and especially now with Mike Tomlin. I'd let all of those people kind of speak for my innocence. Now, I know his reputation will forever be tainted in a way because of all of this. You throw that kind of claim out there, and there's going to be somebody out there somewhere that believes that he said these things, and they'll never be convinced otherwise. And that's the part that sucks. And that's the part that he'll unfairly have to deal with, assuming, of course, that he didn't say it. But if it were me, and what Tomlin did yesterday would satisfy. That was a clear message to the world that this thing has gone far enough, and that overall, it's garbage. Now, that's just me. And maybe Mason Rudolph will pursue a defamation suit or take this thing to the next level and continue to try to protect his reputation and his name. And again, there are layers that keep getting added on to this thing, but it still remains at the end of the day. And this speaks volumes as to who's telling the truth here and who's not. Without being in that situation, without knowing exactly, of course, what was said, without hearing audio of what was said on that field, which is still kind of a mystery as to why that hasn't been brought to light. But it still remains that no one has spoken up from the Browns organization to say that they believe and defend Myles Garrett's claim. Wouldn't this be a great time in seeing Mike Tomlin go out on a national TV show and defend his guy, that someone from the Browns organization would go tit for tat, or at least speak up and say, hey, there is truth to what Myles Garrett is saying here. And the way that he handled it post-game still doesn't make much sense to me. And the way that he threw it out there in what he thought was a private setting still looks and sounds cowardly at the end of the day. Mike Tomlin impressed everyone yesterday, and it meant more because he picks and chooses his spots to speak up, so his words mean that much more. And I think he did a lot to sway public perception and public opinion on this, and to provide an opportunity for it to finally end. And again, if it's me, I don't pursue anything from here, but I certainly wouldn't blame Mason for going after Garrett for defamation or continuing to try to protect his character. Another reason why the Steelers, by the way, are one of the best organizations in sports. We shouldn't look past that. And maybe it's time to kind of, maybe this is a good opportunity to take a step back and appreciate that. It's not just words that people say about them where it's like, oh yeah, the Steelers, they're a great organization. I mean, oh, the years of winning and they're, you know, classy and the Rooneys, and, you know, you hear people kind of just throw that out there as if it's an obvious thing, if it's just a plain old fact that they don't need to explain. Well, they don't need to explain it because in situations like this, it's the actions, and it's right in front of you, and it's the leader of that organization, Mike Tomlin, and bringing that out and handling it in a way that makes sense, that is strong, and that tries to squash it, especially whenever they believe that the narrative is false. And then just as a kind of a, as I'm wrapping up just my reaction from him coming on the show, it shows the, maybe incompetence is kind of a too strong of a word here, but just the silliness of ESPN and these national networks of taking what Tomlin said about Antonio Brown and kind of running with it farther than what he meant with those words. And here's what he said about AB.
Once a Steeler, always a Steeler. We had great success over the course of 9+ years with Antonio. We're always going to be interested in his growth and development as a man, and we'll be open to assisting him in that. But we have no current business interest at this time.
No current business interest at this time. And apparently a lot of people take that as, well, the door is open for Antonio Brown. He's coming back to Pittsburgh. With his apology tour, now Mike Tomlin says this, he's going to be a Steeler. It means what it means. It means that once a Steeler, always a Steeler. There, of course, there's a family atmosphere with the Steelers. And that's another thing you hear about this organization. And I think Mike Tomlin is proving that to be true, that they genuinely care about the guy because they spent years with him. Right there, day after day, for years in that organization. They care about his well-being. I believe that. That is true. That's what that once a Steeler, always a Steeler thing means. But he makes it clear at the very end, no current business interest at this time. There is nothing. Thanks, but no thanks on that whole mess that Antonio Brown is right now. That's the end of it. And you would think with Mike Tomlin saying things that people would take him for his word, but I guess not. And we got to take it to a level that it just isn't, because that's a theme with the Steelers and the national media, I guess. Anyway, coming up next, the ACC is supporting something that could be very, very big in college sports. I'll go over that, as well as a really scary thing that happened yesterday and later on last night. And then I have a Penguins thought to wrap up this show today, as well as a question of the day. That's all coming up. It's the Early Morning Show on 93.7 The Fan. It's the Early Morning Show here on 93.7 The Fan. A couple of things happened later on last night that you may have missed. Let's go over that.
Time now for While Yins Was Sleeping on Sports Radio 93.7 The Fan.
All right, the Daytona 500 was continued yesterday after it was delayed and postponed due to rain on Sunday. And so it picked back up yesterday. And a really scary moment at the end, as Ryan Newman, Ryan Blaney, and Denny Hamlin all kind of jostling for position there at the very end of the race. And Ryan Newman ends up getting in a really, really bad crash and going and basically flipping up in the air. And if you haven't seen video of it, it is a crazy thing to see. It, even as far as NASCAR crashes go. And here is the audio and how it sounded on Fox.
Yet. Not at all.
Ryan Newman off turn four for the final time. Blaney to the outside. Oh! To the inside. Here comes Hamlin up the outside.
Wow!
Crash into the wall, into the air. Oh. Goes Newman.
Upside down.
In a shower of sparks on his roof, Ryan Newman comes across the line fourth. And comes to rest.
Yeah, multiple flips up in the air, ended up landing on the roof, sparks everywhere, and just the car was completely destroyed. And a statement later on last night from Ryan Newman and from Roush Fenway Racing said, quote, Ryan Newman is being treated at Halifax Medical Center. He is in serious condition, but doctors have indicated his injuries are not life-threatening. We appreciate your thoughts and prayers and ask that you respect the privacy of Ryan and his family during this time. We appreciate your patience and cooperation, and we will provide more information as it becomes available. So it seems like things are okay for the most part, although still in serious condition for Ryan Newman. It's incredible if you watch that the video of this crash. Incredible that this thing doesn't happen more, really, in NASCAR. And despite them being professional drivers, and even more incredible that he was able to survive this thing. And I guess now that you kind of know that Newman, although in serious condition, is, you know, it's not as bad as it people feared. Now the attention is going to Denny Hamlin, who ended up winning the Daytona 500 and was celebrating right after the race. And even whenever, you know, Newman's status was in question. And I don't know. I guess he could have had more awareness, sure, of the situation. But I don't have too much of a problem with it. I think it's his reaction to kind of live with. And it's in the moment, wins, you know, the most famous race in NASCAR. I mean, that is what gets the national attention. Everybody watches the Daytona 500, and he just won it. So I have a hard time kind of killing him for celebrating right after, even though that there was a really scary situation. You didn't really know the status of Ryan Newman at that point, but I think that's kind of the controversy that's going to come from this as well, from the Daytona 500 yesterday. And also, the ACC, of course, been a member of, has announced yesterday that it supports a proposal from the Big Ten, and this came out about 3 weeks ago that the Big Ten was in support of this, that they would allow undergraduate student athletes in all sports to transfer once without sitting out of competition for 1 year. So the current rule mandates that undergraduate transfers in football and basketball, both men's and women's, baseball and hockey, must receive a waiver from the NCAA to be eligible immediately, and players in the remaining sports are allowed to transfer without sitting out. And so this is just the ACC backing Big Ten and their proposal to have student athletes transfer one time without having to sit out for a year and going to a new school. Overall, I think I like it because of what you saw with guys like Mel Tucker from Colorado, who just bolted for Michigan State after a very short time there. And I think if coaches can leave that easily with programs after promising recruits, who knows what they promised them, at least years of them being their coach whenever they're in that program, and then they can leave for another school that easily. I think as long as that opportunity is there for them, I think the opportunity should be at least kind of equal here for a student athlete to transfer schools and to not have to miss any time at least once if things kind of go sideways and if the situation at that school is not what they were promised coming in. Now, I think it gets a little bit murky whenever you transfer within the conference. And, of course, that is a huge mode of contention there. And I think, yeah, that bothers me a little bit. But overall, I really like the fact that they're giving the players here this kind of opportunity, because I've always thought that it was incredibly, it just felt scummy for these coaches to be able to leave those situations so easily and to make, by the way, millions of dollars in these other jobs as well and be very, very well compensated for leaving a school after they promise things to these recruits. All right, coming up next, and we'll see what exactly surfaces and comes about after the ACC and the Big Ten kind of join forces here and bring this idea about. These are merely just proposals in the NCAA. Coming up next, I got a thought about the Penguins as they go to take on the Toronto Maple Leafs as we're heading down the stretch of the regular season, and also a question of the day before I wrap all of it up here on the Early Morning Show. It's the start of a new day brought to you by Greenbrier Treatment Center, just about 5:30 on this Tuesday morning, wrapping things up here on the Early Morning Show before the Fan Morning Show. Pre-show at 9 o'clock today on the Fan Morning Show. NHL.com writer Dan Rosen will join the show ahead of the Penguins taking on the Toronto Maple Leafs tonight in kind of the home stretch of the regular season in the NFL, NHL. I always do that, NFL. NHL. We're at this time of year where in the NHL, where I'm just kind of bracing and holding my breath that there isn't a major injury. And it goes back to what I said a couple weeks ago about how the NHL postseason, it just should be starting now. It's a dead time in sports. The better teams have separated themselves in the league. It's time to go here. It's the dead of winter. It seems like it's the appropriate time to have hockey's best product be on display is right now. It's not in, you know, April and going into June, whenever this thing finally ends. It feels like it should be ramping up and should be on display in its full glory for all of the sports world to see. And aside from the XFL, right now, it's the NHL's time. And with this team in the Penguins, I mean, look at this lineup. The only fear for me is that somehow the chemistry gets upset when Dominic Cahoon and Brian Dumoulin, although I'm not that concerned about him, get reinserted back into the lineup, particularly Cahoon, because he was so good with Malkin and Russ before his injury. And do you put him right back on that second line when he returns? And if he does, then that means Jared McCann just gets bumped right back out and onto the fourth line, and Patrick Hornquist and Jared McCann are sitting on your fourth line, because you don't break up Aston Reese, Bluger, and Tanev as your third line. So that's what they're looking at right now as they get more and more healthy. And that's even without Jake Kensel, who, if they make a deep playoff run, he might even come back at some point. To have Jared McCann and Patrick Hornquist suddenly on that fourth line now, and we mentioned it like just last week before Jason Zucker came on this team, the Penguins were essentially down to rolling out three lines because that fourth line was getting like 5 minutes a night. So if you look at it now, they've got all the elements, do they not? Crosby and Malkin are healthy. They're getting scoring behind them. Maybe in the past it was with guys like Phil Kessel. Now it's more of Brian Rust really stepping in and getting to another level offensively. And just kind of compare it to the times that the Penguins have made deep runs and have won Stanley Cups. That's there at the top. They have a third line that's been great. That's always been a staple of Cup teams and Cup runs for the Penguins. Back with the HBK line, and even Cook, Staal, and Kennedy way back when they're first winning Stanley Cups. And they've got that in this third line with Aston Reese, Bluger, and Tanev. And they've got a competent blue line that, despite John Marino's absence, will get better with Brian Dumoulin back. And they've got two goalies rolling right now. And we saw that with Fleury and Murray, and we're seeing it right now with Murray and Jarry. That's just about checking every box of a Stanley Cup Penguin team. And I think that should become the expectation now. Here are all the elements. You've got it all in place. Now it's a go get it done kind of thing. And for now, and now I've kind of reached a, you know, as long as they stay healthy from here, which again is a huge question mark and is a huge concern because the season is way entirely too long, that it should be, in my opinion, I'm back to it being Cup or bust. That this team has all the pieces in place, especially with Jason Zucker, everything that he has already brought to the team in a couple games that he's shown on that first line with Sidney Crosby. They've proven what they can play with the top teams in the league. We've seen that over the past few weeks. They've played them all, at least in the Eastern Conference, right? They played the Bruins, they played the Capitals, they played the Lightning, and they have played them all very well. And you'd think in a 7-game series, they'd have a chance against just about all of those teams. And the only thing left to do is maybe add another defenseman at the trade deadline. That's coming up on the 24th, just for depth purposes, because I think you can never have too many of them, like pitchers in baseball. Other than that, let's roll. It's time to go for the Penguins, and the expectation should be, and seeing everything that they have, all the boxes that they are checking right now, that they should be making a run toward the Stanley Cup and at least be in the Eastern Conference Finals, which I've contended that I believe they're capable of that. And I said that for months now before the Zucker acquisition, and I think they're even closer to that now. All right, a question of the day as I wrap up here on the early morning show. Is there ever rules for a player or for a team to celebrate? And this goes back to Denny Hamlin and the Daytona 500 and celebrating the win, even though Ryan Newman suffered, was involved in a very, very serious crash and kind of his status was up in the air. Are there ever rules for when a team or a player wins the championship for how they celebrate, how and when they celebrate in sports? Is that really a thing? Fan Weather is brought to you by Sun Chevrolet and McMurray. Get a sweetheart of a deal with Auto Show Savings in February today. Occasional morning rain and a high of 50, and then tonight, overcast and colder and a low of 28. Pre-show on the way from American Natural. It's up next.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.